بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In the previous lesson, we looked at the statement of Imam al-Tahawi رحمه الله when he spoke of the people of the Qibla, those who turn to the Qibla and to whom the labels of Islam and Iman are applied. And so some of the issues connected to that, we looked at the issue of Iman, the issue of faith, the issue of the meaning of what is Islam, what is Iman, are these terms, do these terms have the same meaning, do they have different specific meanings? We looked at the issue of al-iltizam wal-imtina. If you remember, this was an important discussion to do with a person believing that he comes under an obligation and a person not believing he comes under an obligation. And an example of this was if someone was to believe that zakah is from Islam and zakah is wajib, but the obligation doesn't apply to him, right? This person would be a disbeliever, right? Even if he actually performed, even if he gave the zakah, right? If he says, I'll give it, but it's not actually, I don't come under the obligation, right? This person would be a disbeliever. And this is what we refer to al-imtina. Al-imtina meaning that he believes that he's not addressed by the obligation, even though he affirms that yes, in the Quran, the zakah is commanded and so on and so forth. And this would apply to every other type of obligation. So we spoke about that. It was a crucial topic, we said, and one in which those people who are put to trial today with takfir, those who declare other Muslims to be non-Muslims, to be kuffar, and those who declare the rulers to be kuffar, this is one of their doubts and misconceptions that they have, and which they fail to understand in the proper manner. And then they ascribe to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah that which he is free of, because Ibn Taymiyyah actually makes this distinction, and they bring a lot of general shubuhat based upon some of the speech of Ibn Taymiyyah, which they don't actually understand in the first place. So that was one of the main things that we discussed in the previous lesson. We continue today with the next statement of Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, and he says, "Wala nakhudu fillah, wala nakhudu fillah, wala numari fi dinillah." There are two statements here. The first one is that we do not dispute regarding Allah. We don't speculate and dispute and wrangle about Allah. And then in the second half of the statement, he says, and nor do we dispute regarding the deen of Allah. So there are two things. The first of which relates to Allah himself, Allah's essence, the reality of Allah and what he is. And the second half of it is to do with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, al-Tahawi negates these two things. These two things are not from the way of the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah. وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. So, with respect to the first, the general meaning here then is that we don't start bringing doubts, misconceptions, any doubts that we might have, because all of this is from this disputation and blameworthy type of argumentation, because the Islam, the Asl of Islam, is actually built upon al-istislam. And this is an important point that we should make here, because you see, many of the groups that came in history, especially the people of Kalam, they began to claim and say that it is necessary for a Muslim to begin from the position of doubt. right? That we start doubting in everything. And then from this position of doubt, which is shak, we then try to rationally prove our faith. Right? This is the way of the Mu'tazila. And this is the way of groups today like Hizb ut-Tahrir and people like them. They're affected by this philosophical methodology that we start from the position of shak, doubt everything, and then we bring rational proofs to try to justify our belief. And this is wrong, because what is commanded in the Quran is al-istislam. Al-istislam simply means to submit. And why is this? The reason for this is that when we look in the Quran and the Sunnah, we see there are two faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to mankind. The first faculty is the faculty of the fitrah. The fitrah is an inherent natural inclination which is in every soul. And through this fitrah, every soul knows certain realities and certain truths. Right? So from those things which are in the fitrah, by way of example, that Allah has actually put in every single soul, Allah says, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلِيهَا in Surah Ar-Rum. The fitrah of Allah, upon which He created mankind. And so from the things is that the heart recognizes that all of this creation, you know, behind it there is a Lord, no doubt that there is an originator and a creator. It's a natural thing for a soul to believe and know and recognize. And also from those affairs which are from the fitrah is that a heart loves. It has an inclination towards love of this creator and this maker. And also from the affairs which are from the fitrah is to recognize or to anticipate justice. When a wrong is committed, the soul naturally feels inclined that there is a wrong and therefore some justice is now due. And that's why you will find amongst all the people of the world, whether they are Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, pagans, everyone will have a certain basic moral sense. Right? Even atheists will have a certain basic moral sense. And that's because of the fitrah. That's because of the fitrah. He knows that injustice is wrong. He knows that injustice, if someone steals or harms the wealth or the blood of someone else, then justice is due. Everyone has this recognition and knowledge that this is a truth and this is correct. So the first thing that we are given is the fitrah. And the messengers, when Allah sent the messengers, in the Quran, the messengers' primary appeal is to the fitrah of mankind. Right? This is something that's very clear and apparent in the Quran. And in Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَتْ رُسُلُهُمْ, verse number 10, وَقَالَتْ رُسُلُهُمْ أَفِ اللَّهِ شَكٌّ فَاتِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there, that the messengers, their messengers said, is there any doubt regarding Allah, who is the Fatir, the originator of the heavens and the earth? Okay, so the point that we are making here is that there are two faculties that Allah has placed in mankind. The first of them is fitrah. The second of them is aql, which is reason. And in the Quran, the primary call of the messengers was to appeal to the fitrah of mankind. They didn't appeal to the reason first. Rather, they appealed to the fitrah. Because the fitrah is something that provides a certain basic element of knowledge, right? The way we receive knowledge, there are a number of things from which we receive knowledge. We receive knowledge from there's a basic type of knowledge in our fitrah, by which we know the truth of certain things. Then we also have reason, the reason which is based upon the his. His are the five senses. We see, we hear, we taste, we touch, we smell. And so we input information, and then we make analogies in our minds, and through those analogies in our minds, we acquire other information, right? This is aql, his and aql. This is his and aql. And so this is another means of arriving at knowledge. And then we have a third means, and that third means is revelation. Revelation. So we have fitra, we have aql, which is reason, and then we have naql, which is transmission, which means revealed text. Right. So the fitra can tell us a certain amount of basic truths. The aql can also tell us a certain amount of truths, and also we can deduce certain information. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know through reason that this creation must have a creator. We know through reason, through aql, that this creator must have a will, and he must have the attribute of ilm and irada and hayat, which is life, right? These are things from reason and through analogy that we can actually make and arrive at this type of knowledge. But these two faculties are not sufficient. They're not sufficient for, first of all, acquiring knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a sufficient sense, and nor acquiring knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that reason, Allah sent messengers and Allah revealed books. So when Allah sent the messengers and Allah revealed books, then those messengers came, and the first thing that they appealed to was to the fitra of mankind, because mankind is inclined towards worshipping Allah alone and recognize that there's a creator. And that's what we see apparently in the Quran. So therefore, the messengers, they said to each of the peoples that they were sent to, O my people, worship Allah alone. You have no other deity besides him, right? The proof here is that in the Quran and in the methodology of the prophets, we do not see them starting with the doubt, the shak, doubts, misconceptions, right? Like what we see with the people of philosophy and some of the Ahlul Kalam, the people of Kalam, and those who followed that particular way from some of the Ash'aris and Maturidis and the Mu'tazil and other than them. Rather, we believe from that which the fitra necessitates, which is to make istislam, which is to simply submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not see any of the messengers and any of the prophets coming and starting and ordering the people that you begin from the point of doubt and the position of doubt, of shak, and then you use your his, which is your hearing and your seeing and your smell, taste and touch, and your aql, a reason, and then you start developing proof. No, we don't see that at all. And this shows that this way and this approach is batil. So the asal, the foundation of Islam, is al-istislam, which is you simply submit yourself to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because your fitra already necessitates that. Right? This is what your fitra is already inclined to that. So there isn't any position of doubt. There is no doubt. As Allah says in that ayah, Surah Ibrahim, 14 verse 10, وَقَالَتْ رُسُلُهُمْ أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌّ. The messenger said, is there any doubt in Allah? Meaning there is no doubt in Allah. It's a rhetorical question. There is no doubt with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we make al-istislam. This is the origin, the beginning point. We make istislam to Allah, to the tawheed of Allah. And also whatever Allah has informed us and his messenger has informed us about the affairs of the unseen, we simply submit to that. Paradise, hellfire, al-qada wal-qadar, the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's names, Allah's attributes, things which are like this. We make istislam in general and specific issues. So, once we've made this point, once we've established this, then the meaning of the statement of At-Tahawi, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ, we do not dispute regarding Allah, means that we do not speak about the essence of Allah. Allah exists. Allah has a reality. Allah has an essence. We do not start speaking about this essence, except with what has come in the book and the sunnah. Because we've already established that the two faculties Allah has given us, al-fitrah and al-aql, there is only a certain minimal basic amount of knowledge that we can arrive at by way of these two faculties. Fitra tells us that this universe has an originator and that the heart naturally feels inclined towards that originator and that creator. Aql, reason, can tell us certain things, that Allah is al-Khaliq, he is al-Aleem, one who is knowing, one who has irada, one who has life, one who has seeing. You know, there are certain things that we can deduce from reason. But this is not enough. And for that reason, the Quran and the Sunnah, the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we limit our speech based upon what Allah has said of himself and what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so here now we begin to separate from the people of kalam, the people of philosophy, the people of rhetoric, the people of speculation, and they are those people who, this is not their foundation. Our foundation is that we understand the limitation of the fitra and aql, and we realize that the naql, the transmitted text, which is the revelation, that this is what brings us knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, our way is taslim, submission to the texts, right? And the way of the people of kalam and philosophy and so on and so forth, then these people, their origin is to dispute about Allah, is to argue about Allah, is to speculate about Allah with their minds or based upon rationalities and proofs that they devise. And upon them, they start to speak about Allah, his names, his attributes, what can be attributed to him, what cannot be attributed to him. And so here now you start seeing a difference between the people of taslim, people of submission, the people of ittiba, those who make ittiba of the messengers, and those who incline towards making reason the foundation. Right? So here we have on this side, we have the Quran, and the sunnah is the foundation. The naql is the foundation in speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for these people, the aql, the reason, is the foundation for speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as a result of what they fell into then, who began to use their reason to speak about Allah, his names and attributes, they began to speak about Allah and his attributes in a way that opposed what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought. So when Imam al-Tahawi, when he says in this short, simple sentence, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ, this is a refutation of the people of kalam. This is a refutation of the people of kalam and the ilmul kalam. And you have to remember that Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, who was there at the end of the 3rd century after Hijrah, after the time of Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, he is a person to whom you will find many of the people of kalam, they ascribe to him, or they utilize some of his speech in this creed that we are going through. There are certain ambiguous statements that they use, but we find that in many different places in the creed of Imam al-Tahawi, there are strong indications, very explicit indications, that he is free of the people of kalam. We mean here, in a modern context, we mean the Ash'aris, the Maturidis, people like that. They attach themselves to al-Tahawi and this book, because they see in this book certain general ambiguous statements that they can use to create certain shubuhat. But Imam al-Tahawi, when we see in certain topics like the Qur'an, for example, that we've discussed previously and we will revisit again in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala, the Qur'an being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are many other issues as well, that there is a clear separation between Imam al-Tahawi and those people, the people of kalam. And so here, at this point, when he says, La wala nakhudu fillah, we do not delve and dispute and debate and argue about Allah, he's speaking about these people. He's separating himself from these types of people, the people of Ahlul Kalam, the people of Bid'ah, the people of desires. And we only speak about Allah based upon the actual speech of Allah and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. So just as we do not dispute about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither do we dispute about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't start throwing doubts and misconceptions and so on and so forth with respect to what we find in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a general commentary upon these two sentences. There are a number of issues now, a couple of issues that we find in detail. So the first of those issues is that disputing about Allah and conjecturing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his essence is haram in the deen of Allah. It is haram. And likewise, to start pondering and reflecting about the essence of Allah. How is Allah? What is Allah? How can we understand him? And so on and so forth. All of this is prohibited. But what is ordered, what is commanded in the Quran, is that a person, he reflects upon the favors of Allah and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have the statement narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as is related about him, that he said, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي آلَاءِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ فَتُحْلِكُوا. That reflect upon the favors and the bounties of Allah and do not reflect upon the essence of Allah, and thereby perish, and thereby you perish. And so therefore what is commanded is for a servant to reflect upon the verses and the signs and the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these favors and bounties, or his signs, they are of two types. When we say the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah, they are of two types. The first of them is those signs that we see and observe in the creation. We look around us, we see Allah's dominion, we see on the earth, we see everything which Allah created, and the various phenomena that we see, the night, the day, the alternation, the oceans, the beasts, the animals that from which we seek benefit, and everything else. So these are the signs which are observed. And then the second type of sign is the sign which is recited and heard. Recited and heard, which are the signs of the Qur'an, the ayat of the Qur'an, the verses of the Qur'an. So, a person who reflects upon the signs of Allah, the bounties of Allah, all of this will develop in his heart a ta'zeem, a veneration of his Lord. And he will arrive at serenity. He will be serene and calm. And it will humble him. He will have khushu' and khudu', khushu' like a type of humility, and khudu' like a type of submission for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that this is what Allah has commanded in the Quran. There are many verses we see by way of example at the end of Ali Imran. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternate or the variation of the night and the day, are signs for a people of wisdom, people of intelligence. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting and on their sides, and they ponder and reflect in the creation of the heavens and the earth. Surah Ali Imran, verse 190-191. And likewise, Allah says many times in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا. Do they not reflect and ponder? And Allah says also, قُلْ انْظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, say, look, observe what is in the heavens and the earth. And the verses and the signs and the messengers did not avail a people who do not believe. Meaning that even Allah's signs and even the sending of messengers do not avail, do not help a people who will not believe. And likewise we see in another ayah in the Quran, Allah orders the messenger to say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا. Say, indeed I admonish you with one thing, that you stand in front of Allah in twos or alone, and then you ponder and you reflect. مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ. That your companion, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is not mad. He is not mad. Reflect and think about this thing. So we see that in all of these verses, Allah is commanding, reflecting, thinking, pondering over his signs, over the phenomenon, over the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these different things are what are commanded in the Quran. And then we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was someone to whom being alone in reflection was something that was beautified to him, was beloved to him. And we see that he would spend time alone. He would go to the cave of Hira, and he would spend nights, and he would reflect upon the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this would bring about the realities of iman in his heart. The haqa'iq al-iman. That reflection would be something that brings in the soul and the heart the realities of iman. And it would bring about humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we see that from the guidance of the Salaf is that they would speak little and reflect a great deal. Speech would be little, they would speak less, and the reflection would be a great deal. They would reflect upon the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ummu Darda radiyallahu anha, she said about her husband Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, she said about him that the majority of the worship of Abu Darda was at-tafakkur. The majority of the worship of Abu Darda kanat أكثر عبادة أبي الدرداء التفكر. That the majority of the worship of Abu Darda was reflection, التفكر. Because reflection upon the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah has commanded in the Quran, is worship, it's ibadah. Allah commands this in the Quran. Reflect in the heavens and the earth, the creation of these things, the night and the day, the oceans and the animal, everything else. This is ibadah. And there is a statement from Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah. Al-Hasan Al-Basri was someone who died in the year 110. And he's from the Imams of the Tabi'een. And he has a beautiful statement which indicates that this was the way of the Salaf. That this was how they were. He says, عَمَلْنَا الْقُلُوبَ بِالتَّفَكُّرِ فَأَوْرَثَهَا التَّذَكُّرِ فَرَجَعْنَا بِالتَّذَكُّرْ عَلَى التَّفَكُّرْ وَحَرَّقْنَا الْقُلُوبَ بِهِمَا فَإِذَا الْقُلُوبُ لَهَا أَسْمَاءٌ وَأَبْصَارٌ. Which means that we first worked our hearts with tafakkur, with reflection and pondering. And then this reflection and pondering made our hearts to inherit an admonition, a tadhakkur, or remembrance, right? So, in other words, with the senses, we looked and observed, and we made tafakkur. This tafakkur, this reflection, made our hearts to inherit a tadhakkur. A tadhakkur means to take an admonition, to remember. And then he says, فَرَجَعْنَا بِالتَّذَكُّرْ عَلَى التَّفَكُّرْ. And then, this tadhakkur that we acquired, meaning this admonition in our hearts that we acquired, this then returned us back to at-tafakkur, back to thinking. So now we have like a cycle, right? So the admonition in the heart and the remembrance in the heart now returned us back to at-tafakkur. So we began to think and look again and reflect and make tafakkur. And then using this method, we mobilized the hearts. We moved our hearts with these two things, at-tafakkur and at-tadhakkur. And then as a result of this, our hearts, they developed hearing and seeing. Right? Meaning, the heart can hear and see in a way. We don't mean the hearing of the ear and the seeing of the eye, because obviously these are things that everybody has. But the heart hears and sees in another way, right? Which most people don't have. And so this tafakkur and tadhakkur is something that brings about this motion in the heart. The heart is mobilized and moved. And as a result of this activity, the heart now develops an ability to see something and hear something that normal ears and eyes and the hearts of normal people don't actually see and hear. Right? In other words, this is a type of heart which is alive. Allah says in the Quran, لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ That this Quran may admonish he who is living, meaning he whose heart is alive. The one whose heart is alive. This is what it means. Otherwise, everybody is living. It means here, he whose heart is alive. A person with a heart which has hearing and seeing. Again, we don't mean hearing of the eyes, the hearing of the ears, sorry, and the seeing of the eyes. We mean the hearing and the seeing of the heart. A heart which is living. And so this heart sees things, it is wise to things, and it can see what other people do not see. So this reflection then is upon the bounties of Allah, not upon the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only in those things which He created. And so this reflection is in the signs which are seen and observed, and likewise the signs which are heard and recited. And then he says that this made our hearts to inherit tadhakkur. And then this brought back our minds to reflection again. So again, we mentioned this already. In this way, did they mobilize their hearts, and then the hearts began to have hearing and seeing. This is the type of knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by way of which a person realizes the reality of this world, and so he prefers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the life of the hereafter over the life of this world. And this is what the heart is made to inherit when it begins to make this tafakkur and tadhakkur, as we mentioned. So from all of this then, we now understand the statement of Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ, meaning that it is a quality and a characteristic of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah that we do not dispute about Allah. We don't dispute about His attributes. Rather, we just simply mention the evidence. We mention the evidence, what the Quran and the Sunnah has indicated, and we teach that, and then we act upon that. The important thing is action. We act upon all of that, because the whole intent behind all of this is action, al-amal, and that a person's heart becomes living. It's given life, and that it is salih, it is righteous, and it is humble and repentant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there are two sets of eyes, there are two sets of eyes that the fire will not touch. The first eye is the eye which cries out of the fear of Allah. The eye which cries out of the fear of Allah, a genuine tear crying out of the fear of Allah, and an eye which spent time in guarding in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning someone who stays awake and he guards the frontiers of the Muslim lands, and he stays awake guarding in the path of Allah. These two, the fire will not touch these eyes. And likewise, in the hadith in which it is mentioned that there are seven who will receive the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, one of them is وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهِ خَالِيًا فَفَادَتْ عَيْنَاهِ, One of them is a man who remembers Allah when he's alone by himself and his eyes shed tears. Okay, so this is the maqsood, this is the intent, this is the whole purpose. And so the we don't dispute about Allah, rather we ponder and reflect upon his signs. And as for Allah himself, then whatever he has informed us himself or his messengers informed us of his names, attributes and actions, we speak upon that and upon the necessities of that, and we don't liken him to his creation, and we limit ourselves to that, and our reason follows all of that. This is how it is. So this then is the way of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And from this we have distinguished ourselves from two groups of people. Right? We have distinguished ourselves from the people of Kalam. Right? They base their speech about Allah upon Aql. And we already said that even though mankind has Fitra and Aql, these two cannot be the basis of speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it is the naql, revelation, right? So, this is one thing. Then we have another group of people, because again, as humans, we have fitrah, right? We have fitrah. We have hiss, are the sensory perceptions, right? Hearing, seeing, taste, touch, smell, right? Then we have, obviously, the hiss, that when we input this information in our minds, we make analogies. This now is aql, this is reason, right? From that, we can acquire knowledge. Then there's something else, which is a dhawq. Dhawq is taste. What our emotions taste and feel, right? This is the way of the Sufis. This is the way of the Sufis, right? Dhawq, meaning taste, how your emotions feel, the ecstasy that you feel, the pleasure that you get out of your emotions, right? Again, this tells us, this doesn't bring us any knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's something that we have. And so on the other hand, we have the Sufis. And so their experience, reflection, speech about Allah, all of this, we see that this dhawq meaning taste, how you feel and the pleasure that you get. And, you know, this is something, so we differ from the Sufis in this respect as well. Because this is what they believe. They believe that when you indulge in all of these so-called actions that they do, these innovated forms of worship, that they reach levels of ecstasy. And when they reach those levels of ecstasy, they receive a sudden illumination. They call it kashf. Suddenly, something is revealed to them, right? Because by becoming spiritually clean and ecstatic, meaning with such pleasure, they kind of make connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something of divine knowledge is revealed to them in an instant. This is what they call kashf, right? And on this basis, they speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so all of this is batil. All of this is batil. Right? This opposes the way of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So we are free from kalam, and we are free from the false foundations of the tasawwuf that these Sufis are upon, which is not based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. So we are free from all of that. And all of this is summarized in the statement of At-Tahawi, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ. The second issue to finish off our lesson today is the statement of At-Tahawi, وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. These two words are different. Al-Khawd is the first thing that we do not do. Al-Khawd means to delve and dispute into something that we are not fit and capable of disputing into, of entering into. And Al-Mira', because he said, وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Al-Mira' is something else. What is Al-Mira'? Al-Mira' is a type of argumentation or disputation in which a person wants to aid and support his own self. Right? This is al-mira. So either he wants to argue with somebody because he wants to win the argument against his opponent, or he wants to overwhelm him, or he wants to bring about doubts, or he wants to aid and support his own soul, All of this is what is al-mira, al-mira, al-mira fi deenillah. And as we said, this is prohibited. All of these affairs are prohibited in the Sharia. They are blameworthy because, as we said, Islam, the asl of the deen of Islam is istislam. You simply submit. And so the mira in the deen of Allah is prohibited. That's why we see that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I grant that there will be a house in the highest part of paradise for a person who abandons al-mira, meaning who abandons this disputation and argumentation, even though he knows that he is right. Even though he knows that he is right. Okay, so this means that the Messenger of Allah, he, you know, guaranteed a person a house in the middle of paradise if he abandoned this type of disputation, even though he knows that he is correct. And this is because sometimes when a person knows he is correct, he knows he's correct in an issue, if he was to enter into an argumentation, then it could be that his soul overwhelms him, and the reason why he's arguing, the reason why he's debating, is could be to aid his own soul. It could be for some other reason, some other motive might creep in, right? So out of the fear of all of this, he abandons this argumentation, right? Because he only wants to aid the truth. This intisar, this aiding and supporting, is only for the truth. He doesn't want to support and aid his own self or his own motives or his own objectives. No, he only wants to aid the truth. And so that's why when argumentation is made and it's not for aiding and supporting the truth, but for some other motive, this is called al-mira. Al-mira. And this is from the way of the people of bid'ah and dalal, the people of desires, the people of innovations. That's what they do. They make mira because they want to support their own, you know, innovation or their program or their objective or whatever it is that they have. So this now is a second characteristic of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, that they don't make mira in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in his Usul al-Sunnah, right at the very beginning, he mentions the likes of this, that from the Usul of the Sunnah is to hold fast to what the companions of Allah's Messenger were upon, and to abandon innovation, and to abandon argumentation, disputation, al-mira, and you know, all these different types of argumentation, that to abandon all of them. This is an asl, this is a foundation in our religion. So here, At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he says, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And so we take two very important lessons from these sentences, and we finish with the statement of Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was asked by somebody, that a man, he says, الرجل تكون عنده السنة أيجادل عليها. That a man has with him the sunnah, meaning a man knows he's upon the truth, he has the sunnah. Should he start arguing about it? Should he dispute for it? And so he said, لا يخبر بالسنة. He says, no. He simply informs about what the sunnah is. So if then it is accepted from him, then fine, otherwise he just remains silent. I mean that there's no argument, you don't dispute. You just say, look, this is what the sunnah is. That's all I'm telling you. Either you accept it or you don't. I'm not going to dispute or argue about this issue. Right? So you just make ikhbar. You just inform. This is the sunnah. That's what we find our salaf to be upon. That's what the haqq is. Now you take it or leave it. I ain't entering into any dispute with you. This is the way of the people of the sunnah. So on that note, we finish today's lesson. And after these two statements, Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, he begins to revisit the topic of the Qur'an. The Qur'an being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the second time now in his creed that he discusses the issue of the Qur'an. And inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson, we will take up this topic in more detail. So with that, we conclude today's lesson. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين